There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm up from Evo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to have Dylan Rockford aboard. He does such tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're going to be chatting with him about what he's all made out of the first 3.5 weeks of the season. I know that I got a few questions as to how to gauge some of these teams in terms of expectations going into the season, whether or not we should be going all in on some of them, whether or not we should be going half in on some of them. We're going to be going very much in depth, so that question is going to be answered in segment number two, so we're going to have you guys all covered there, and we're going to be taking a look at some of the teams that have been some of his biggest surprises coming into the season as well, and then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline. @J_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Main question that I got is, how do we gauge the small sample size? How much do we want to be reversing course on some of these teams based on our priors? And that is very much going to be answered in segment number two, so we're going to be hitting that with our good friend Dylan. I'll be giving a lot of my thoughts. He's going to give a lot of his thoughts, so we're going to have two collaborating minds there, but let's take a look at everything that we did get in baseball on Sunday. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Well, our DK Network right to pick was the Chicago Cubs on the money line, and the Chicago Cubs, they just couldn't hit with men in scoring position. 6-3. The Miami Marlins get the job done, and for the professor and Kyle Hendricks, it has been a pretty miserable season for him thus far, as he goes 4 innings, gives up 4 runs, including an absolute tank shot to Asu Sanchez, who has not been able to hit to save his life to start out the season. That was his first home run of the campaign for Hendricks. He has now given up 4+ runs in every one of his first 5 starts thus far this season. The 4 runs that he surrendered, that was actually the low amount that he's given up, and the Cubs are 1-4 in his starts. From there, you did have Drew Smyly. Well, we were not smiling about this. 2 runs surrendered in 2 1/3 innings. From there, though, Colton Brewer, pair of outs out of the bullpen, scoreless, but did give up a few walks. Adbert Alzolay, Keegan Thompson, they're both able to end a scoreless inning, and for the Cubs, they go just 3 of 16 with men in scoring position. Lots of scoring opportunities as Edward Cabrera, he goes 5 innings, gives up 3 walks, 7 hits in total, but he was able to get away with just 3 runs surrendered. And the Miami Marlins have Calvin Fauché, Andrew Nardi, Brian Hoying, along with Tanner Scott, all be able to supply a scoreless inning, so they do find a way to be able to get the job done, and they have now won 2 out of their last 3. I think that this is probably the first time all season long that that has happened for our good friends of Miami Marlins, and they have had a rough season, but it's not as bad as a Chicago White Sox season. My goodness. They lose again by a count of 8-2, and at one point they had a 2-0 lead. That was gone, though, in the bottom of the first inning because they had Eloy Jimenez get his first home run season off of Aaron Nola, and that's all Aaron Nola would surrender. He gave up 4 hits, 2 runs over the course of 8 innings, including that home run. Junior Marte from there, a scoreless inning. But for the Philadelphia Phillies, you had Kyle Schwarber go deep in this one. Home run number 6 of the season. That comes off of Davey Garcia's. He lost his home run in 1 1/3 innings. Bullpen honestly hasn't been awful for the White Sox. You did have Joey Leisurely give up a run in an inning. But Tanner Banks, 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Michael Kopech, a scoreless inning. But this is not what they were hoping for from Nick Nastrini. Gives up 6 runs, 5 of which were earned in 3 innings, including 5 walks. And for the Chicago White Sox right now, they're averaging 2.1 runs per game. Just absolute sadness. And this is why you don't want to make too much out of small sample sizes. I'll tell you right now, when it comes to the small sample sizes, it's very much based on the situation. You don't want to buy in too soon. And at the same time, you don't want to be late to the party. It's all very, very unique. But hopefully we didn't buy in on the Pittsburgh Pirates too early, as they take a nice old sweeperoonie at the hands of the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox able to pull this one out by a count of 6-1. And for the Red Sox, no home runs, and they go just 4 of 17 with men in scoring position, but they just kept on drawing walks. They were able to get 6 walks in total. Martin Perez, 4 runs surrendered in 4 innings. Ryder Ryan gives up an unearned run in 2 innings of work. Raul Chapman gives up an unearned run in his inning of work as well. Josh Fleming, David Penner, they both supply a scoreless inning as O'Neill Cruz, his 5th error of the season already. That's not too terrific. And Josh Winkowski was pretty much an opener plus. 3 1/3 innings. He lost 1 run. From there, you had Justin Slayton and Chase Anderson both give you 2 scoreless innings apiece. And Greg Weisert was able to give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And the Boozer, Cam Boozer, he was able to come in. He gave the team a scoreless inning as well. The Milwaukee Brewers have now won 4 straight games. 3 of those games, they have scored 2 runs or fewer. 2-0, they shut out the St. Louis Cardinals, a Cardinals team that has now failed to hit a home run in 8 straight games. This loss is not on Sonny Gray. Gave up 2 runs in 6 1/3 innings, punched out 12. From there, Jojo Romero, Matthew Liberatore, both lend a scoreless inning. Andrew Kittredge, pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, but the Cardinals leave 10 men on base, 0 of 9 with men in scoring position. Colin Ray says hip hip hooray to getting out of a whole bunch of trouble. 3 walks, 5 hits allowed in 5 innings, but no runs. Brian Hudson from there, 2 1/3 innings scoreless. Elvis Piguero, he was able to give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And Joel Piamps was able to give you a scoreless inning. So the Brewers, they stay hot, they get another win. And the old Walker Texas Rangers were able to get hot with a bat. 6-4, they take down the Atlanta Braves. For the Braves, they did get a home run early on from Marcell Ozuna. 9th home run season that comes off of Michael Lorenz in the first inning, but he settled down from there. We'll give up just those 3 runs over the course of 6 innings. From there, Kirby Yates, 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless to be able to get a save. David Robertson provided 5 outs, and he had a unearned run surrendered as he was hurt by an Adolis Garcia fielding error, but Garcia will make up for it at the plate. Goes deep off of Tyler Matzik for his 6th home run season. Then Darius Vines, the starter, gave up a pair of home runs as well. Austin Kneiser, his 1st home run season. And Evan Carter, his serve for Vines, gives up 4 runs in 5 innings, including those 2 bombs. Tyler Matzik gives up the other home run. He has just not been chirped this far this season, giving up 2 runs in his inning work. But Dylan Lee, 2 scoreless innings, and Aaron Bummer was not a bummer. He was able to supply a scoreless inning, but the Atlanta Braves, outside that home run, they were a bummer. The LA Dodgers entered into this game against the New York Mets, having lost 4 out of the last 5, and they took out their frustrations on the poor Metropolitans. As for the LA Dodgers, they are able to find a way to be able to get the job done, this by a count of 10-0. For the Mets, you had Adrian Houser pitch more like Doogie Houser. He gave up 8 runs over the course of 4 innings, including a home run. Going deep for the LA Dodgers, you had Shohei Ohtani get his 5th home run of the season, then home run number 1 for Andy Pages. Pages, he was able to go deep off of Grant Hartwig, who gave up 2 runs over the course of 2 innings. Michael Tompkin, 2 scoreless innings out of the bullpen, but Tyler Glasnow was rolling. 10 punch outs, 8 scoreless innings. Nick Ramirez from there, he's able to supply a scoreless inning. So, big win for them, and they are top over teams at all of baseball. The LA Dodgers are one of them. 15 overs, 8 unders, and a push. Surprisingly, the Cleveland Guardians have been one of those as well. How about 14 overs, 7 unders, and a push? They're able to take down the Oakland AAAs by kind of 6-2 on Sunday. This was a closing total of 7.5, so you were just barely able to get the over. As for Ross Stripling, not the world's worst performance. He gives up 3 runs over the course of 5 innings. Did allow a home run along the way. Going deep for Cleveland, it was home run number 2 for Will Brandon, but for Cleveland, yeah, Tanner Bibee, do a relatively solid job of holding down the 4th. 5 2/3 innings. He gives up 2 runs of his own, including a home run to Brent Rooker, his 4th home run season, but pass at the A's did nothing. As for the Guardians, he had Nick Samlin, Tim Herron both give you a pair of outs on the bullpen scoreless. Kate Smith, Emmanuel Classe, they both lend a scoreless inning. And for the bullpen of the A's, which has been very good all season long, not so great in this one. TJ McFarland, he gets an out of the bullpen but allows a run. Mitch Spence gives up 2 runs in 1 and a third innings, and Danny Jimenez, 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. So the A's, they get swept, and after they had went 10-1 on the run line as an underdog in their last 11 games, they have now lost all 3 of their last 3 on the run line. So that has been a little bit of a reversal there. What has been very strange, the Houston Astros, and man, I think that they're going to get right sooner rather than later, but this is looking rough. 6-0 the final. The Astros have had some slow starts. It's never been this bad, and they did have Christian Javier get scratched for Hunter Brown, and Hunter Brown, this was honestly not his world's worst start, but still, 3 runs surrendered over the course of 4 innings. From there, Sean Dubin, he rolled a doobie, giving up 2 runs over the course of an inning. Taylor Scott, he gives up a solo home run in his inning of work. Going deep for the Washington Nationals was Nick Senzel, his first home run of the campaign. You were able to get 2 scoreless innings out of Brandon Beelock, but absolutely nothing doing for the Houston Astros. How about the young gun in Mitchell Parker shoving 7 scoreless innings, 8 punch-outs. From there, Matt Barnes, Dylan Floro, they're able to supply a scoreless inning as the Houston Astros just have not been able to get a lot going on offense as far this season. 13 unders, 8 overs, and 2 pushes. Your top under team in all baseball, though, that would be the Seattle Mariners. They played a pair against the Colorado Rockies. The first game at a 0-0 count going into the 10th inning. The Rockies pull it out in 10 by a count of 2-1 as Andres Munoz gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned. He gave up 3 hits and was unable to get an out in the 10th inning, but for Seattle, absolutely nothing doing in this one as Cal Quantrill go for 6 scoreless innings. He walked 5 along the way. He's a pitch of contact guy that gave out 5 walks and did not get tagged at all. Nick Mears, Justin Lawrence both supply an inning. Lawrence gives up the unearned run in the 10th inning. Mears keeps it scoreless, and Jake Bird gives the Bird with 2 scoreless innings. And for Seattle, George Kirby wasn't overly long for this game, but 5 scoreless innings out of him. Trent Thornton, Gabe Spire, they were both able to supply a scoreless inning, and Ryan Stanek 2 scoreless innings before Munoz unable to hold down the fort. Meanwhile, for Seattle, they took out their frustrations in game number 2. 10-2, the final. Peter Lambert has been a failure as a starter whenever he's gotten those opportunities for the Rockies, and he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. From there, Noah Davis gives up 3 runs over the course of his 3 innings, including a home run going deep for Seattle. Cal Raleigh, his 5th home run season. From there, you did have a scoreless inning out of Tyler Kinley and 2 innings with 1 unearned run surrendered by Jalen Beeks. But for the Colorado Rockies, they have now scored 2 runs or fewer in 6 out of their last 7 games. 3 of those games coming at home, by the way, as Emerson Hancock, who hasn't been able to do anything right at the big league level. 2 runs, one of which was earned, given up in 6 innings. From there, Taylor Cicado, Austin Voth, Cody Bolton, they were all able to win a scoreless inning. For the Toronto Blue Jays, it's been a little bit of a slog for them with their offense, but you saw them have a little bit of a good series against the Padres, but did not wrap up the best. They lose to the Padres on Sunday by a count of 6-3. Chris Bassett just has not been the same pitcher when he's been away from home rather than at home. 4 runs, 2 of which were earned, given up in 5 1/3 innings, including a home run going deep for the Pods. Xander Bogaerts, who's been having a miserable season thus far, 2nd home run in the campaign. From there, Trevor Richards, he's able to get 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, but walk 3 along the way. The Blue Jays gave up 9 total walks in this one. Nate Pearson, he gives up 2 runs in 1 1/3 innings. And for the Jays, they did have a pair of home runs in this one off of Joe Musgrove. Ernie Clement, his 2nd home run in the campaign. And David Schneider, his 3rd for Musgrove, gives up those 2 home runs, 3 runs in total over the course of 7 innings. But Wandy Peralta, Robert Suarez closed the door with scoreless 8th and 9th innings. You were able to keep things relatively scoreless out there in the great state of Minnesota. The Tigers were able to get a 6-1 win. As for the Tigers, you had Buddy Kennedy get his 1st home run campaign. That comes off of Louis Varlin, who was not long for this game. 4 runs surrendered in 2 2/3 innings. Bullpen from there wasn't bad. Jay Jackson gives up 1 run in 2 innings. Caleb Theobar gives up 1 run in 1 inning. But Matt Bowman, 2 scoreless innings. Cole Sands, 1 1/3 innings scoreless. But this Twins team is right now relatively on par with the Chicago White Sox in terms of their offensive sadness. You're able to get a run in the 9th inning by a solo home run from Austin Martin, his 1st home run campaign, and that was the lone form of offense. They had Casey Mize, 6 scoreless innings, Tyler Holton, 2 scoreless innings, and then Alex Vaito gives up that solo home run in his inning of work. So the Detroit Tigers, they get another nice win, and we saw a few teams get shut out on Sunday. The Cincinnati Reds blanked the LA Angels by a count of 3-0. As for the Angels, they decided really just not be able to produce at all at the plate. 6 total hits in this one. They go 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position, and Jose Soriano, 3 unearned runs is what he was tagged with over the course of 6 innings. Luis Reynifo, a terrible error out there in the field that really costed him. Jose Cicerno from there, pair of innings scoreless. And for Cincinnati, Frankie Montas, he got a pair of outs and then he got injured and had to leave this game. And then from there, it became a bullpen game for the Reds and they all came through. Fernando Cruz, Lucas Sims, Alexis Diaz, they all supply scoreless innings. Emilio Pagan, 2 scoreless innings. Brent Suter, who used to be a starter for the Brewers, 3 1/3 innings scoreless. So good on the Cincinnati Reds for holding down the fort and being able to piecemeal that together for the Baltimore Orioles. They were able to blank the Kansas City Royals by a count of 5-0. Pair of home runs in this one for Baltimore off of Seth Lugo, Colton Kowser, his fifth home run season, Jordan Westberg, his fifth home run season, and Cole Irvin, he was tremendous. 6 2/3 innings. Did only punch out two, but limited the hard contact, doesn't give up any runs. Danny Colom, Jacob Webb, they both give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and then Dylan Tate ties it together with a scoreless inning. And for Seth Lugo, he gives up those two home runs, 4 runs in total in 5 1/3 innings. He did have a run given up in an inning by Anthony Viziano. You also had Anel Zerpa come in for 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and Will Smith, he gets jiggy with a scoreless inning of his own. You also were able to have quite a little bit of a lower scoring game out there in San Francisco, 5-3 the final. This was a low total of 7.5 on the opener, got ballooned up to 8.5 because you had Slade Cissoni get the last second start. Merrill Kelly gets scratched just before first pitch in this one, and he pitched quite well. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings, did allow a home run to Mike Yastrzemski, his first home run in the campaign, but didn't enough for the D-backs to be able to get the win. Ben Jarvis, Ryan Thompson, they both supply a scoreless inning, and Kevin Ginkle, he comes in for an inning, gives up a run, but for the Arizona Diamondbacks, despite going just 2 of 10 with men in scoring position, they got to the bullpen. Jordan Nix, relatively solid start, gives up 1 run over the course of 5 innings, but gave up just 1 hit and 4 walks. The walks knocked him out of this early, and then Eric Miller gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in his inning of work. Sean Hegele was able to give you 2 scoreless innings, but Nick Avila, 2 runs, one of which was earned, give it up in an inning of work for the Giants. It's been a little bit rough in terms of the bullpen for them thus far, and that was the case once again on Sunday, and it has been rough for the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen thus far this season. They take another loss to the New York Yankees. This is by a count of 5-4, but Yankees have actually been a really good under team. 8 overs, 13 unders, and a push. This one just goes over as a closing total of 8.5, and a lot of it was because Aaron Savali was not able to get online. 8 hits, 5 walks allowed, and 4 2/3 innings, including 5 runs. The bullpen wasn't bad because they used Erasmo Ramirez in long relief, 3 scoreless innings of Philip Maton and out of the bullpen, but for the Yankees, Luis Eel gives you a very good start. 5 2/3 innings, does walk 3, but punches out 9, gives up an unearned run along the way. Dennis Santana was rough. He gave up 3 runs over the course of an inning, but Luke Weaver gives you 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Victor Gonzalez closes the door. He's able to get a scoreless inning as well. And if you're taking a look at what we're all getting in baseball right now, trend-wise as far this season, been still a little bit of an overwhelming season, but totals are relatively 50-50. 161 overs, so 157 unders, so that's a 50.6% hit rate to the over. Road teams just continue to be hot. On the money line, they're hitting at 52.3%, 172 and 157. Meanwhile, favorites, they're hitting at 58.6% overall, 191 and 135. And in baseball on Sunday, we saw a very interesting blend. 8 overs, 7 unders, and a push along the way. And we saw the favorites go just 8-8 straight up on the money line. And over the last 7 days, that's a little bit of a reversal of what we've seen as favorites entered into the day hitting at north of 60% prior to that. Now, over the last 7 days, with Sunday included, 57 and 38 are these favorites over the last 7 days, and home teams 48 and 47 on the money line in that time span. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Sunday. Now let's take a look at what we've all got in the first 3.5 weeks of the season, what we should be overreacting to, what we should not be overreacting to, how to handle this sample size right now. We're going to be talking about that, along with a little bit of Mets, some teams that we're bullish and bearish on, and so much more with Dylan Rockford of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show. Myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, Dylan Rockford. He does tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and he does a great job on quite a few fronts for them. He is their main man with regards to their baseball podcast, but I know that he does the Show the Axe Kicks Picks podcast as well. That's all about MMA, and man, they had a big week a few weeks ago with UFC 300. The Dream Wager is another podcast that he does a tremendous job with as well. You're able to follow Dylan on Twitter/X at Rock with CKs on the back half of Rock 24 altogether. And Dylan, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Always good to be with you. When I know we're talking to you, I know we're talking baseball. But yeah, doing well. Grateful to be here.
Great to have you aboard, Dylan. And as we're doing this, we're about 3.5 weeks through the season. And just want to lead it off with a pretty open-ended question that you can go many different ways with. But what has been really your biggest takeaway from what we've seen in these first 3.5 weeks of the baseball season? Because I think that there's a lot of places that we could go in terms of like struggling teams with regards to the totals, what have you. But what has really been that thing that has been standing out to you the most thus far?
Yeah, a couple teams right off the bat. I mean, the Houston Astros, 7-15 on the year, -22 run differential. I mean, Oakland Athletics are actually playing better baseball than them. So them, Cleveland Guardians, offensively, I know we've been dying for years to talk about when they can break out offensively. This seems to be the year for them. Yankees doing well. Juan Soto really doing well. Anthony Volpe really playing well. And then the National League, a little biased here, but the Mets, after, you know, a rough start into the season, I think the Mets now kind of the hottest team in baseball. Still haven't caught much ground on the Braves. Braves still playing well. And Milwaukee Brewers, like I was talking about the Cleveland Guardians offensively breaking through. I feel like the Milwaukee Brewers, their win total, the oddsmakers kind of let them off fourth in the division. They didn't really give them much of a chance, but here they are in first place a couple weeks into the season. And those would probably be the big stories for me.
Yeah, they have been big stories. And when you take a look at a team that has been surprising, like I'm not even going to call the win-loss record for the Brewers surprising, though as someone from the great state of Wisconsin, I'm surprised by it. But the Brewers hitting to me has been super surprising. They entered into Sunday averaging about 7 runs per game away from home. How do you decipher that? Because I take a look in the back of my head and I feel pretty safe in saying I don't think that the Brewers are going to be averaging 7 runs per game on the road all season long. But at the same time, I do think that even though it's still early on, I think that it's fair to change our expectations maybe a little bit for a Brewers offense that many people, and I'm one of those people, thought was going to be relatively rough when the season started.
Yeah, I thought so too. They were going to be rough, but honestly, they produce, especially at the top of the lineup. Willy Adames, Wilson Contreras, Christian Yelich. He is banged up a little bit, but then even at the back end of it with Perkins, I don't know if I see regression coming. I do like this team, and like you mentioned, they're aggressive at the plate. They don't have that number one star in that lineup where you go, okay, maybe I have to pitch around. But I feel like all 1 through 9 are tough outs. I mean, they're second in slugging, third in batting. They don't strike out a lot. They do really everything. They even hit the long ball. They're top 10 in home runs in the league as well. They steal. They're aggressive at the base path. I don't think regression may be coming for this team.
It's going to be so interesting to look at this Brewers team. The young guys like Bryce Terang, Blake Perkins and company. I had low expectations for them, and they have completely blown them out of the water thus far this season. So that has been fun to watch at Zone Rockford. He does tremendous work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do think that is going to be interesting to look at that NL Central, because you're going to have starting up on Monday that Brewers versus Pirates series, as the Brewers are going to be throwing out their Joe Ross, probably not necessarily the guy that you want to be banking on time and time again. But how do you take a look at a Central division where the Brewers, you were mentioning them as being a surprise, the Chicago Cubs, they're off to a rock solid start. And I feel like this division almost emulates what we got in the AL East a season ago, where it feels like every one of these teams has the ability to finish 500 or better.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the NL Central is probably the most competitive one in baseball right now. I feel like it's a coin toss. I feel like anyone could honestly get it. I bet the Reds in the beginning of the season, felt like there was tremendous value there. A bunch of young kids, thought they were better than what the win total was projecting as well. I thought their pitching, they took care of it in the offseason as well. I think the Cubs are doing well. I thought they had a chance as well. Pirates, I don't know. I think they're still a few years away. But yeah, I think this NL Central could really come down to late September, early October.
Oh, I think so as well. And then when I take a look at surprises, this one has been one very much of the negative, because we all talk about who might be the worst team in all of baseball this season. I feel like the Chicago White Sox are very much running and hiding with this award. Like, the Colorado Rockies were coming up a lot prior to the season, and the Rockies stink. No fans or buts about it. The Miami Marlins have become a real dark horse for their stinkitude as well. But just how do you take a look at this White Sox team time and time again? Because now we're getting them at well north of plus $2 prices, and I just can't find myself taking a shot on them, because I don't know if they're going to give me 3 runs to be competitive in a game.
Yeah, honestly, that's really the problem here. I feel like the White Sox are going to be the worst team in baseball. And sometimes I have to turn the TV off. I can't even watch them. It feels like they're not even trying. I can't back them. Like you said, we're getting up there to where they're going to be plus 240, 230, and I still can't back them. That's how bad it's getting. So I agree. I think they are one of the worst teams. A lot of people talked about Oakland, you know, being on the transition coming in a few years to Las Vegas. You thought they were going to really punt on the season. They've been, I think, better than a lot of people expected. You talk about the Miami Marlins. They're another team I want to fade. But, yeah, I feel like with the White Sox, going back to them real quick, even on the run line, it's hard to even back them, especially I don't think you're going to get a minus 130 or even better sometimes, even at home for them. So, I don't know. I think it comes up from management and ownership. He really doesn't care about the team. It's unfortunate. There's rumors that they might move to Nashville as well because they can't get an extension on the stadium. So there's a lot of turmoil going in Chicago. But yeah, definitely a team I want to fade this season.
Yeah, it's been really, really sad to see how far they have fallen. Eloy Jimenez being out of the fold for a little bit and coming back. Them having Luis Robert out, that's not helping things out as well. So this has been very, very much sadness, to say the least. But yeah, how about if we take a look at a little bit of a better surprise as well? And I thought that it was really interesting what we saw over the weekend in this Orioles versus Kansas City Royals series, because I almost feel like the Royals are trying to be what the Baltimore Orioles have been the last few seasons, a team on the come up. They've been able to just acquire a lot of young talent in general. Grind, there's been a little bit of inconsistency with the Royals, but I look at them in an AL Central where there's just really no hitting whatsoever in the AL Central. Yeah. The pitching is good, but hitting is not there. And I feel like they could be one of those great surprise teams and a team that might be able to, when it's all said and done, win this division.
100%. I think this is a dark horse in that AL Central, especially if the Guardians start to regress a little bit. It doesn't look like Minnesota could hit. We just talked about how bad Chicago is, and Detroit's kind of coming back to earth as well. So yeah, I think Kansas City, they're a very fun, exciting team. And I think, like you mentioned, they took care of the pitching. They got Seth Lugo. They got Michael Wacha in the offseason, two veteran guys that could give you a lot of innings. And we know offensively, Salvarez Perez, what he could do. Bobby Witt Jr. is a star, but you know, I think with Velasquez in left field, he could be really good in the middle of the lineup as well. So Hunter Renfro, he has to start getting going. But I think there's a lot of potential on this team. And I think on the road, especially, we're going to have opportunities to have really good prices and back to Kansas City Royals.
This is going to be a really fun team to take a look at. And the way that we have been seeing the starting pitching really dealing for the team, Alec Marsh has had a nice little bit of a come up. No doubt about it. Cole Ragans is looking like an ace. So he did have a little bit of a rough go of it over the weekend against the Baltimore Orioles, but you know that he's going to be fine. I do like what I'm seeing here with this bunch. As joining me on the show, we always love what we're seeing out of this man, Dylan Rockford. He does great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and he's joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And Dylan, this is our first time talking to you for the season, so I do want to get your thoughts here. Were there any futures that you did place prior to the season? And if so, how are you feeling about them right now? Because even though we're just 3.5 weeks through the season, I feel like now we're starting to get a little bit more of a feel for some of these teams. And are there any positions right now that you do have?
The one that's not looking good, I took a Houston Astros, their win total over 89.5. It ballooned up to, I think it closed around 92. Not looking good. There's a lot of baseball left. I took Aaron Judge, home run leader, on bobblehead night over here in New York. He went 0-for-3 and got booed. So not looking good for that. But I took the Baltimore Orioles, win total over. That's looking good so far. I took the Mets over, a little bias. So hopefully the pitching stays healthy. I took 3 NL West teams to make the playoffs because, honestly, I feel like it's going to be Atlanta. Who knows in that NL Central, but I think only one team's going to get there. And I think there's a possibility with Phillies getting one of the wild card and then 3 teams out of the NL West. So that was like a nice little fun one I had. It was NL West teams, 3 of them to get into the playoffs. And I think I got that around like +185. So yeah, those are the ones that futures that I had.
And I do think that it is interesting to gauge some of these teams that they perennially start slow, because I know that you were talking about the Astros future isn't looking so great, but how much do you want to take a look at some of these players and some of these teams that they do perennially get off to slow starts? Like with the Astros, we've seen it from them, honestly, the last 2 seasons. The month of April, they are out of the gates, not necessarily so tremendous, and then they pick it up from there. We noticed with a few pitchers as well, like Zach Wheeler was able to have a really nice start on Saturday against the Chicago White Sox, but again, we laid out how bad the Chicago White Sox are. It always feels like he has like a rough first month or so of the season, and then he's able to pick it up as well. How much do you gauge this as well, and maybe have a little bit more concern for some of these teams that maybe they have a little bit more of a track record of starting strong and they don't have that start to begin the season, whereas a team like the Astros, typically they do start out a little bit slow, but you know that they've had just time and time again the ability to be able to pick it up as the season goes along, along those lines as well. The Seattle Mariners, another one of those teams.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not too worried with Houston just because of their experience. Their bullpen, I think, is going to sort itself out. They got Justin Verlander back, and I'm glad you brought up Philadelphia, because that was the name, that was the team right off my mind that came to me, where they're a team past 2 years they come out the gate slow, but then they make their run late in the fall, they get all the way to the World Series. So I'm not worried. I have a win total on the Phillies as well, just because I feel like they are a team that starts slow and they could finish, they get better as the year goes on, and I think that's the same thing with Houston. So not too worried about the Houston one, and I wouldn't even hedge out. When I have money tied up for a few months, I usually don't like to hedge out regardless of the situation.
Yep, and I mean, it is, in my opinion, just a little bit too early as well. And how important do you think that is to not be overreacting to some of these sample sizes? Because I don't think that you'd want to take a look at the first 3.5 or so weeks of the season and just have your hands in your pockets and not change anything around whatsoever. We laid it out with the Brewers offense. It's very clear that these guys aren't going to be like a bottom 5, bottom 10 offense or anything like that. But at the same time, I don't want to be in sort of the scenario where we're anointing these teams like the best thing ever. We recall the Pirates a season ago had the best record in the National League, and that was through the first month of the season, fell off from there. How much of it do you think it is a balance to say, all right, maybe this team is a little bit better than what we thought, but we don't want to be going all the way based on like a 20 or so game sample size?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what I'm getting with a team like maybe the San Francisco Giants. I valued them really high coming into the season, so they've kind of burned me the first 3 weeks of the season. So I don't worry too much, and I think they will get better, just like a few teams, maybe the Cincinnati Reds or the Milwaukee Brewers, the New York Mets. I feel like things will start to fall out eventually. So even the Dodgers, Yamamoto, there was so much hype coming into the season, how he's going to do. The Padres have kind of owned him. I feel like he's only had one or two good starts. So I don't worry too much. It's a long season.
Absolutely, and I know that you are a man that's out there in the great state of New York, and you mentioned the Giants, and they are actually going to be playing against the New York Mets on Monday. As of right now, subject to a little bit of change, it looks like it's going to be Jose Quintana going for the Mets. For the Giants, it's going to be Keaton Wynn. But how much does a series like this really catch your attention? Because you were talking about the Giants trying to gauge the Mets after just a horrible start to the season. They actually had a really nice series against the LA Dodgers. We don't know how that Sunday result turned out, but being able to take the first two there, that was something that was relatively impressive. But how much do you take a look at a series like this and have it as a little bit of a measuring stick, for lack of a better term, series? Because I do think that if the Mets are able to take a few games in this series against the San Francisco Giants on the road, that really does lead me to starting to buy into this Mets team a little bit, though. As you know, as a Mets fan, this has been a team that's been very, very inconsistent over the last few years, to say the least.
Yes, the Mets are going to Mets. I mean, that's the saying around here. But yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I think going on the road, this is going to be a big road test out here on the West Coast. We said that we could win in St. Louis. We had a nice series win in Atlanta, division rival as well. So some nice wins. We'll see what happens in this Sunday game against the Dodgers. But, you know, they're hot. The pitching is good. And a kind of an up and down Giants team. They do hit the ball well. Francisco Alvarez being out kind of hurts us as well. The one issue that I have with the Mets is, you know, everyone could steal off of them. I don't think they've thrown one guy out, but, you know, they're bottom half in the league. The Giants are stealing bases, so they're not too aggressive, but maybe we'll see if they take advantage of that for the Mets. But, you know, I feel like the Mets, Jose Quintana has been better. I feel like most pitchers have been better than we anticipate. Luis Severino, especially our bullpen. So I feel like if our pitching is on, Harrison Bader gives us a live chance. It'd be nice to see Francisco Lindor pick it up a little bit. And I think we're about a month away from seeing JD Martinez. So adding that into the lineup, I think will really help.
And a lot of people take a look at the Mets and just what happened to them last season. How big do you think it is that Edwin Diaz is back, and how much of last year's struggles, for lack of a better term, just really was a result of Edwin Diaz being out of the fold? Because a lot of people take a look at bullpen pitching, what have you, and I don't think that they want to make too much out of one guy, but I feel like the impact that Edwin Diaz had, him being out of the fold, getting injured in the World Baseball Classic, I thought that that was much bigger than a lot of people made it out to be, because, well, Edwin Diaz being in the fold wouldn't have resulted in the Mets winning like 100 games or anything like that. I thought that that was a big, big loss for them last season.
Oh, 100%. I mean, watching the game live while Puerto Rico was celebrating, I knew immediately how much of an impact that was going to have for the upcoming season. I don't know. I don't think it was – because, like you said, he doesn't go and play offense. The Mets weren't even scoring runs anyway to begin with, so there wasn't even opportunities for him to go and get a save. But you're right. I mean, the bullpen last year was not good. The pitching in general was not good. They weren't able to hit like 40 to 50%, almost half is the reason why we had such a bad season. And with having the largest payroll, I did expect, you know, maybe to go all out in free agency or at the deadline, but that just wasn't the case. We were actually sellers. So they kind of punted on the season. And yeah, I think it all stemmed from that night.
Yeah, that might have been the biggest upset of the 2023 baseball season. Nobody saw the Mets being sellers at the trade deadline, that is for sure. But a man that is never doing a bad job on that front, a man that is always selling great content, a man that does a great job of just giving you great insights in general, that'd be you, Dylan. You do an amazing job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Love the good people at home know it's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, Greg, as always. And yeah, it's busy time. We got the draft this coming week. Baseball's in full effect. You got that playoffs in NHL and NBA. UFC is locked and loaded as well. You guys could find me on X or Twitter, whatever you guys call it, with Rock with 2Ks24. And yeah, all my podcasts as well. Greg mentioned it as well. So yeah, I appreciate the time, Greg.
Always great to be able to get Dylan aboard. He does such an amazing job taking a look at this great game of baseball. And every single time he joins the show, lends such good insight. So big thanks to Dylan for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we bet them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball.
This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to be able to get aboard our good friend Dylan Rockford, who does great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I know that he is hard at work taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball, but on top of that, does a great job on the UFC front, does a nice job on football as well, and so much more. So always great to be able to get Dylan aboard. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /XFeed at GNNR41. Going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go through the National League games first, then the American League games. If we did have interleague games, they would be at the bottom, but we do not have any of those today. So let's get things started with 9:51, 9:52 on the card. It is the Milwaukee Brewers on the road facing off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. As you got Jared Jones, who's on the bump for the Buccos, and Joe Ross goes for the Brewers. Totals between 8 and 7.5. On the 7.5, the over is minus 120, the under is even. On the 8, under is minus 120, and the over is even. This opened up at 8.5, by the way. And for the Pirates, between minus 124 to minus 130 is what you're laying here. Anywhere between plus 110 to plus 117 is that number on the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm going to be one away with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I did set them as a favorite of minus 128. Do have my question marks with Joe Ross because he did not pitch at the big league level in either 2022 or 2023. And for Ross thus far, hasn't been great, hasn't been terrible. 4.91 ERA. And if you do look at the fielding independence at 2.96, but I do question that. He's getting about 8.5 strikeouts and 5 walks per 9 innings. Biggest reason why he's fielding independent is low is that he hasn't given up a home run this season. So I do think that that's going to iron out just a little bit. Last time out, did give up 7 runs, 6 of which were earned to the San Diego Padres as well. And faces off against a young guy in Jared Jones who's been getting the strikeouts. He is well north of 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And he's given up 3 earned runs or fewer in each out of his 4 starts thus far this season. Though it's not like he's been super duper dominant in terms of the way that he does give up contact in general. He has given up 6+6 in 2 out of his last 3 starts. But he's really done a nice job with the walks as well. 2 walks in 23 innings. He's certainly got some upside for the Pirates. I think that consistency might be something that he deals with a little bit, but all in all, I really like what I'm seeing out of Jones, and that's a big reason why I'm going to be willing to lay it with the Pirates. And for Pittsburgh, they got off to a nice, I would say, 2-series start to the season, but man, it has been a little bit rough for the bats recently. You don't have anyone with north of 3 home runs, as O'Neill Cruz is hitting just a 209 right now. You do have, though, Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes. These are guys finding a way to be able to move the line with about a 370 to a 385 on base. Same goes for Connor Joe, but you just need the power hitters to be able to step up. Andrew McCutchen, Rowdy Tellez, Henry Davis. These guys are not supplying power. They're not getting on base, so that's been rough. And they go up against a Brewers lineup that is currently averaging north of 6 runs per game on the road. Now, I do expect that to be falling off a little bit, especially with Christian Yelich still being on the fold, and William Contreras, I don't think, is going to continue to give you a 425 on base with 4 home runs, but that said, Jackson Chirillo, Reese Hoskins, both of these guys have been able to crank out 4 bombs as well. Willie Adames, after he just could not hit for average last season, bought a 390 on base, 3 home runs, and for the Brewers, this has been a pretty rock-solid bullpen thus far, but I do think that we are going to see some ups and downs with it overall for the season. Joe Piamps, Elvis Piguero, Hobie Milner, these are all guys that are rock solid. They're all able to give you a sub-375 ERA. Amador Uribe has really good stuff, but sometimes he can be a little bit up and down as well. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, with them having Ryan Borucki out of the fold, the bullpen has taken a little bit of a dive. So overall, DeShatman, David Benar doing a relatively solid job. And I've always liked Jose Hernandez. Ryder Ryan has been okay, not great, not terrible, but I do think that both of these teams are going to be able to bust out with their bats just a little bit more. You've been dealing with a few injuries for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and just in general, a bunch has had a tough time being able to put bat to ball. This is a bunch that I believe has now scored 3 runs or fewer in each of their last 6 games, but I do think that they bust out here. I do think that Joe Ross gives up some runs. I do think that Jones is going to find a little bit too much of the plate as well, so I do like the over in this spot, and with the Pirates, one to lay up to a minus 127 with them. 9:53, 9:54 on the betting board. It's the Philadelphia Phillies on the road facing off against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are in Cincinnati, and they are on to Hunter Green getting the start for them. Meanwhile, Ranger Suarez is on the bump for the Phillies, and the Phillies are between minus 117 to minus 125 favorites. Between plus 102 to plus 108 is that number. On the Red Legs total on this game is 9. The under is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even and minus 110. And I did set the Cincinnati Reds as a favorite. I'm going to be willing to go in on the money line with them. It is interesting to take a look at the Hunter Green home and road splits he has been giving up throughout his career. Well north of 2.3 home runs per 9 innings at home. His ERA is only about a half a point higher because he still does a good job in terms of not giving up anything other than home runs. It's just been the home runs that have been the big giant issue for him. So we shall see if he's able to turn that chip around. Meanwhile, you've got a guy in Ranger Suarez who, throughout his career, has honestly been a relatively solid road pitcher. You go back to 2023, and he had at home an ERA that was touching right around 5, but away from home, that dove all the way down to a 2.75. I don't think we're going to see quite that same home and road split this season, but I do think that we are going to be seeing a little bit of that moving forward. But biggest reason why I do like the over here, this Philadelphia Phillies bullpen has been absolutely terrible. They're in the bottom three in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. You've seen Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado have their ups and downs thus far this season. Ricardo Pinto has not been good as a long guy. You've got Gregory Soto, who's posting up an ERA well north of 6. And for the Cincinnati Reds, they're right around about 20th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Emilio Pagan, Lucas Sims, these are guys that aren't special, but they're not terrible. Fernando Cruz, 2 seasons ago, had a sub-2 ERA. He's got a 2 ERA thus far this season, so that's a good place to start. Buck Farmer has been a little bit all over the place, and Alexis Diaz, he's a pretty locked-down closer that hasn't necessarily been as sharp thus far this season, but I do think that for the Reds, they're going to be able to find a way to be able to get to Ranger Suarez, who's been solid with about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, has really reduced those walks thus far this season as well. But Elia De La Cruz, Spencer Cyr, both went north of a 400 base, north of a 300 average, and De La Cruz has went deep already 6 times this far this season. Drake Fraley has been a little bit in and out of the fold, but he's providing north of 400 on base. Need some of these guys towards the top of the fold to be able to get online, though. Jonathan India, Will Benson, Christian Encarnacion, Strand, all hitting below a 200. Meanwhile, for the Philadelphia Phillies, it's been very inconsistent in terms of this lineup. You had Bryce Harper have that 3 home run game, and past that, he has done absolutely nothing. Nick Castellanos is hitting well below the Mendoza line of 200. Kyle Schwarber, he's only been able to give you about a 215 batting average, but he once again is giving you 6 home runs. Brandon Marsh has been able to go deep 5 times this far this season, so you do have some Philly bats that have been able to do a relatively solid job. But I do think that Hunter Green, even though he'll probably give up a home run or two, I think that he'll be able to mitigate those to solo shots. And with Ranger Suarez, I do think that he delivers a relatively good start here, as he's been hot to begin the season, but has been a little bit fortunate on balls in play, and the bullpen backing him up has been anything but terrific. So I did set my total at 9.1. I like the over. And with the Reds, set them as a minus 123 favorite. So I like the Reds on the money line and the over. 9.55, 9.56 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves playoffs to the Miami Marlins. Ryan Weathers goes for the fish, and Reynaldo Lopez is on the bump for the Braves. And the Braves do find themselves anywhere between minus 220 to minus 230 favorites. Between plus 190 and plus $2 is that number on Miami. 9 is the total. Over is minus 120. The under is even. Now, I will say, in terms of what we're seeing on MLB.com, what we're seeing on ESPN, it's looking like Bryce Elder is going to be getting the start. So as I do this, a betting board is currently reading Reynaldo Lopez. Right now, I'm thinking that we're going to be getting Bryce Elder. And Bryce Elder, for me, is honestly a 20-cent downgrade from Reynaldo Lopez. Would still be willing to go in on the run line. Right now, we're seeing laying a run half, minus 115. That's a max I'd be willing to lay, but I'm going to be willing to lay it. But do note that if you do see this number move in the AM, and if it jumps upward, that would actually be a fade of Bryce Elder in this spot, because for Bryce Elder, he was an all-star last season. He had a lot of hoopla around him. He was one of the luckiest pitchers in all of the big leagues in terms of the way that he had induced a lot of contact, and a lot of that contact he got very fortunate on. He was only getting about 6 half strikeouts per 9 innings. He was doling out well north of 3 walks per 9 innings as well. So if you are getting Bryce Elder here, that's a bit of a downgrade. And for Reynaldo Lopez, he was doing a relatively solid job. So you have a little bit of trepidation here. And for Ryan Weathers, he's been able to improve this season. He's been able to post up a 2.70 ERA thus far this season. For his career, he's about a 7.2 strikeout per 9 inning guy. This year, he's up to about 10 punch-outs per 9 innings. So the walks are still a little bit of an issue. He has been giving up nearly 4 walks per 9 innings. And if you look at the fielding independent, it is a little bit north of 4. And that's pretty much on par with Bryce Elder. 4.42 fielding independent last season, 3.81 ERA. But you have an Atlanta Braves lineup that is still just absolutely crushing the ball. They've dealt with a few injuries. I know that they had to give Chadwick Trump a start yesterday at the catcher spot, but all in all, this is still a lineup that even with a few injuries, they still have a lot of guys that are doing a tremendous job finding a way to be able to move the line, get on base. Out of their top seven hitters yesterday, five of them hitting at least a 298 to recognize that batting average on an end-all be-all, but you also have an Atlanta Braves team that led the big leagues in terms of home runs last season, and they're right towards the top of the National League this far this season. Not quite on par with the Baltimore Orioles, but Marcelo Ozuna, 9 bombs this far this season. Travis Darnot, Michael Harris, Matt Olson, they've all been able to give you 3 as well, and they're doing this with Ronald Acuña Jr. providing just 1 home run, doing a good job, giving you about 420 on base, but hasn't necessarily gotten going with that respect. Austin Riley, he's only aiming for about a 325 on base with a pair of home runs. You know that these guys are going to be able to turn it around sooner rather than later. And for the Miami Marlins, they're still dealing with that injury to Jake Berger. They just don't have a lot of power in general outside of Brian De La Cruz. He's been a nice surprise. 5 home runs, hitting about a 275. Not really drawing a lot of walks, but finding a way to be able to get hits for this team. And you've also got Luis Arraez along with Tim Anderson, who did find a way to move the line. Arraez is up to hitting at a 275 after a little bit of a tough start to the season, but still have the likes of Josh Bell, Asu Sanchez, who did go deep yesterday, Nick Flash Gordon, Nate Fortes, these guys hitting a 220 or lower. And for the Miami Marlins, bottom three team in terms of bullpen ERA thus far this season. You've been able to get some good innings out of Brian Hoying and Calvin Fauché, but both of these guys were used up yesterday. Birch Smith, 6-0 Sanchez, these guys have been far from tremendous to say the least. And for the Atlanta Braves, this is about a league average bullpen. Not great, not terrible. When you get Tyler Matzik firing all cylinders after he was injured last season, I think that they're going to be a little bit better, but been able to get some good production out of the likes of Pierce Johnson, AJ Minter. These two guys have been able to hold down the fort. Jesse Chavez is a nice long guy that gives you a sub-2 ERA. Joey Menez as well. So I like what these guys are able to bring to the table. So even with Bryce Elder in there, would still be willing to lay up to a minus 115 with this run line. But if we see Ronaldo Lopez, honestly, I'd be willing to go up to like a minus 130 with that run line. And whether it is Elder or Ronaldo Lopez, 9.5 or less, looking at the over, 10 or higher to the under. So looking at the over, and as of right now, that Braves run line, 957, 958 on the bank board. The St. Louis Cardinals playoffs to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brandon Vaught goes for the Diamondbacks, and Lance Lynn is on the bump for the Cardinals, and the Cardinals do find themselves as anywhere between minus 105 to minus 112 favorites, and between minus 102 to minus 110 is that number on Arizona. Close to a pick'em, 8.5 is the total. Over and under are both at minus 115 to minus 105, and I did set the Diamondbacks as a minus 106 favorite on this pick'em line. I'm going to be willing to go with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brandon Vaught, since the back half of last season, has really been able to come into his own. If you look from his last 9 regular season starts into the postseason, was posting up about a 375 ERA, had a little bit of a rough go of it in his 2 starts against the Atlanta Braves and St. Louis Cardinals, but still, since the back half of last season, really like what I've seen out of him thus far this season, about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been really able to reduce on the walks as well, 3 walks in 23 and 2/3 innings, going up against Lance Lynn, who, if you look at the raw numbers, it hasn't been too bad, 218 ERA, but he literally has 1 more earned run allowed than home runs. In 20 and 2/3 innings, he's allowed 5 earned runs and 4 home runs. Now, he's been hurt by the schlubs out there in the field, but I do think that there is very fair concern for Lance Lynn right now. He's still giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings. His swing and miss stuff, which was north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings a season ago, he is down more closer to about 8.2, 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. And for the Cardinals, well, you've got a guy that gives up a lot of hard contact. They have not hit a home run in 8 games. I'm not even kidding. They're at 13 home runs this far this season in 22 games. Nolan Arenado has been able to hit about a 290. He's finding a way to move the line, but you just take a look at all these guys. Nolan Gorman, Victor Scott, Paul Goldschmidt, Brandon Donovan, Jordan Walker. They're all hitting a 210 or lower. They just don't have anyone that's really able to move the line, find a way on base, and I do expect they're going to hit sooner rather than later. Someone like a Paul Goldschmidt, you don't expect him to be down forever, and for Wilson Contreras, he's hitting north of a 300, but it has been brutal for them. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, even with Corbin Carroll hitting just a 215 with 1 home run, this has still been a very formidable offense. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, Lourdes Gurriel, both of these guys 5 home runs apiece, combined it, darn near 300 between the two of them, and Eugenio Suarez, not doing the world's greatest job, but be able to get reach base. He's been a little bit of a disappointment in recent years, but Jock Peterson, Blaise Alexander, both able to hit a 300 plus as far as this campaign and for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I do think that they're going to be able to get some okay bullpen pitching. It's not great. It's not terrible. They've been dealing with Luis Frias being out with a little bit of an injury, but they've been able to get some good innings out of Ryan Thompson. I'm not really a guy for Joe Mantiply anymore. Was an all-star a few seasons ago and has fallen off the face of planet Earth, but Kyle Nelson last year was really good at being able to hold down the four. Meanwhile, for St. Louis, this is a bit of a improved bullpen from when they were 22nd in ERA last season. You've got Ryan Helsley, who's been a really good closer throughout his career, and you got Matthew Liberatore, who, after being a failure of a starter, he's been solid in this bullpen along with the pickup of Andrew Kittredge. That said, you still have guys like Giovanni Gallegos, Andre Pallante, when he's out there, John King. These guys posting up north of a 3.85 ERA, so that's been a little bit problematic, and I do think that for Arizona, they do find a way to be able to get to Lance Lynn, and that's a big reason why I do take a look at the over, and I do think that the Cardinals are doing for a little bit of positivity. Perhaps this is a offense I was a little bit too high on coming into the season, but they have got to be able to get it going sooner rather than later, and I do think that Paul Goldschmidt and the likes of this are going to be able to put up a few runs, so I did make my total an 8.9. I'm going to be looking at the over, but I think that Lance Lynn just continues to give up a lot of hard contact. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that Diamondbacks money line to go along with this total over. 959, 960 on the betting board. The Colorado Rockies play OC San Diego Padres. Dylan Cease is on the bump for the Pods. Austin Gomber hopes to not get Gombered up for Colorado. And your total on this game, going to be finding it at a 10.5. On the 10.5, the under is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even a minus 110. Seeing some 10s pop up as well on the 10. Over is minus 120. The under is even for the Padres. They're between minus 175 to minus 190 favorite. Between plus 154 to plus 165, that number on Colorado. If you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Padres, it's anywhere between minus 115 to minus 120. And I'm going to be willing to lay that run line. I set it at a minus 128. The Rockies have been very rocky with regards to their lineup. How about two runs or fewer in six out of their last seven games? And they played a full series against the Seattle Mariners at Coors. Granted, it's a good pitching Seattle Mariners unit, but at the same time, just absolutely awful. Meanwhile, you got a guy in Austin Gomber that throughout his career at Coors Field has a career 5 ERA. He hasn't been overly horrible thus far this season, but I do feel like regression might be coming. He's got a whip that is right around about a 1.5. He's been getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, giving up 8 walks in 20 innings as well. And for Dylan Cease, the biggest issue that you do have with him is the fact that he does give up about 4 walks per 9 innings. But I think that his stuff plays very, very well to Coors Field, because over at Coors Field, you get hurt very much when you just let the ball be in play, and he's someone that does a great job of being able to get those strikeouts, right around about 11 punchouts per 9 innings. He has been giving up those walks, but at the same time has given up just one home run thus far this season, and he's backed up by a bullpen for the Padres that is nothing special, but it's better than the Colorado Rockies that is currently in the bottom 6 in the big leagues with regards to ERA. You've got Aniel De Los Santos, Wandy Peralta come in. Both of these guys had a sub-3.5 ERA at their respective stops. Robert Suarez has also been pretty solid in the bullpen, and then on the flip side, you're just not able to get that effectiveness. As for the Colorado Rockies, Victor Vodnik has probably been your best bullpen piece, but additionally, for the Colorado Rockies, they had to play 19 innings yesterday because they had one of their games in the double dip go to extras. Now, the good news is Noah Davis, who was supposed to be starting in a few days, was able to eat 3 innings, but even the guys that were not used up yesterday, none of these guys are really that trustworthy. And for the Colorado Rockies, where is the power going to be coming from? As right now you've got Eliarias Montero, Nolan Jones, Brandon Donovan, Michael Toglia. These are supposed to be your main power bats. They're all hitting a 220 or lower, and Toglia right now does lead the team with 4 home runs. But when you've got a .143 on base, that really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot of good. Ryan McMahon has found a way to be able to move the line. He and Ezekiel Tovar both hitting above a 300. But Rockies aren't even really putting up a lot of runs more than they're at home. As for the Colorado Rockies in their home games this far this season, they are averaging, I believe, less than 4.5 runs per contest. But I do think that the Padres, they are certainly going to be able to muscle up. I think that they are going to be able to do a nice job getting to Austin Gomber. You still have Ha-Sung Kim, Fernando Tatis Jr., a pair of guys who will be able to supply 4-plus home runs. And for Tatis, he's been able to give you north of 350 on base as well. Xander Bogaerts is having a miserable season right now, hitting about a 204 with 2 home runs. But Jake Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim, both of these guys now about a 350 on base. Jackson Merrill doing a nice job hitting north of him. 300. Luis Campusano, after the catcher spot was just a dead at bat for them a season ago. Not that he's been amazing, but he's hitting at 280. He's able to find a way to get on base, even though it's not necessarily throw a bunch of power in. I do think that Francis probably going to be making his way out of this game relatively soon due to his pitch count, but that said, this Colorado Rockies team, they don't have a good starter out there. They don't have a good bullpen. I do think that the Padres just really hit this total, not all by themselves, but mostly by themselves. I think there's going to be a little bit of positivity for this Rockies offense moving forward. I think that's another rough display for them. One delay up to a minus 128 on this Padres run line, and did set my total 11.2, so also going to be looking at the over to goal line at that run line. 961, 962 on the betting board. The New York Mets hit the road to face off against the San Francisco Giants as Keaton Wynn is on the bump for the Giants and Jose Quintana is on the bump for the Mets. Currently only Circa has a number up on this game. 7.5 is the total, over and under both are minus 110. Giants are minus 113 favorites, plus 103 is your number on the Mets, and I was willing to go up to a minus 118 on the Giants money line. Saw the Mets have a really nice series against the LA Dodgers. Sunday did not quite go as planned, but all in all, had to like what you saw there. But Jose Quintana, quite a bit of a pitch of contact guy that I feel like he's been a little bit fortunate on the balls in play over the last few seasons. Thus far this season, posting up a 3.05 ERA, fielding independent, more on a 4.54 though, as he's getting about 7 strikeouts to 5 walks per 9 innings, and that's a big kicker, because with Quintana, if he's not giving up a ton of walks, he can get away with it a little bit more, but the walks are an issue. Now the good news is for Quintana, he's in about as pitcher-friendly as a ballpark as it gets in the National League out there at Oracle, and for Keaton Wynn, that's going to be able to help him out as well, as he's not too much of a swing and miss guy as well. He's only getting about 7 or so strikeouts per 9 innings, and he needs to keep those walks down as well. He's been giving up north of 3.5 walks per 9 innings, but has legitimately been getting better with darn near every start thus far this season. As last two starts, granted against the Rays and the Miami Marlins, but two road starts combined 3 runs allowed in 11 innings. And for the San Francisco Giants lineup, it has been a little bit touch and go with them. Jorge Soler, along with Matt Chapman, their two big additions in the offseason, both have 4 home runs. Chapman just not hitting for a lot of average. Both of these guys say 235 or less, but Soler has found a way on base, 330 on base for him. Don't have a lot of guys drawing a lot of walks, though, for the San Francisco Giants unit, as other than Lamont Wade Jr. and Patrick Bailey, you don't have a single other player north of a 337 on base, and Wade is not providing a lot of power, but hitting a 358. Patrick Bailey, he's now been able to give you about a 320 average as well, so these guys have stepped up along with Michael Conforto, who's been able to supply 4 home runs thus far this season for the Giants. Uncharacteristically, this has been a rough bullpen for them. Both of the Rodgers, Taylor and Tyler Rodgers, they're pretty trustworthy guys, but they've been a little bit touch and go to begin the season. Ryan Walker hasn't been great, hasn't been terrible, and you've got a lot of that happening in this bullpen, though. Nick Avila, north of 70 ERA, that's not great, but you do have a pair of good closers in this game. On one side, Camilo Duval for the Giants. On the other side, Edwin Diaz, which, I mean, he's just so impactful for this Mets bullpen, but when it comes to the bridge guys, it can be a little bit of a roll of the dice. Drew Smith was awful last season, though he's been very, very good thus far this season. Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley, these are guys that are relatively solid as well, but Raley's right now out due to injury, and that really puts the Mets behind the eight ball. I do think that that's a little bit more meaningful than a lot of people want to lead on, and for the Mets, after they started out the year, I believe 0-5, they have been able to get very hot with their bats. You've got Pete Alonso, who's able to give you 6 home runs, and year in, year out, a top 5 player with regards to home runs on the road in a just overall per game, per at bat sort of circumstance. Sorry, Marte has found a way to be able to give you 4 home runs, give you about a 325 on base. And for Brandon Nimmo, even though he's only hitting about a 208, he's been able to give you 365 on base, but still have a few guys that are struggling. Francisco Lindor is starting to pick it up, but he's hitting below the nose line of 200. So interesting circumstance here. I did set my total at a 9.6. I think that 9.5 just a touch too low, even though this is a pitcher's ballpark, because both of these guys do give up a lot of contact. I think that contact just enough to get you the over, and I think that the Giants find a way to be able to get to Quintana, so one delay up to a minus 117 with the Giants to go along with the over. 963, 964 on the betting board. The Oakland A's hit the road face-off against the New York Yankees as Carlos Rodon is on the bump for the Yankees and J.P. Sears is on the bump for Oakland. Oakland between a plus 195 to a plus 205 underdog, between minus 225 to a minus 240. That number on the Yankees, 8 is the total, over and under both at minus 110. Gonna take a shot on Oakland. Set them as a plus 183 underdog for J.P. Sears. The big thing for him is to just get back to not giving out a lot of walks. Last season, he gave up a lot of hard contact, but not a lot of walks. He would give up about 2 walks per 9 innings, but darn near 2 home runs per 9 innings. He's been able to do a better job of reducing on the home run ball this season. Actually, he's giving up more contact than he did a season ago. Last year, he was getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. This year, he's getting about 3.8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but also giving up about 3.8 walks per 9 innings. So it's been very strange to see. He actually came up in the Yankees organization organization. He was part of that Frankie Montas deal, so he does know these guys relatively well. And for the New York Yankees, been able to get some good power out of both Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, 5 home runs apiece. Stanton has become a little bit of an all-or-nothing guy. He's hitting for just a .292 on base. And Aaron Judge, an uncharacteristically slow start to the season from .320 on base with just 3 home runs, but able to have Anthony Volpe as well to Cabrera, both to be able to supply north of a .285 average. Not a ton of power out of both of these guys, but a combined 5 home runs between the two of them. And for the New York Yankees, this team is still in the top 8 with regards to their bullpen ERA, but have to have a few question marks with some of these guys moving forward. They add Cody Morris from the Cleveland Guardians. Dennis Santana isn't great, isn't terrible, but Ian Hamilton last year was very terrific. I like the pickup of Caleb Ferguson coming over from the LA Dodgers. And for the Oakland A's, this team is a top 8 team as well in terms of their bullpen ERA. Had a little bit of a rough go of it this past weekend against the Cleveland Guardians, but look at guys like Michael Kelly, Austin Adams, TJ McFarland. These are veteran guys that have come in and held down the fort. Other than McFarland, both of these guys give you a sub-3 ERA. Lucas Hersedge has been able to give you really nice innings along with Danny Jimenez as well. The issue that you've had with the Oakland A's, they just have not been able to put bat to ball as far as this season. The Oakland A's as a collective hitting about a .207. You got the likes of Seth Brown, Zach Aloff, Ryan Noda, Shea Langeliers, Lawrence Butler, Nick Allen, J.D. Davis, all hitting a .220 or lower. Brent Rooker, after he had a great year last year, he has been less than terrific in terms of moving the line. He's got 4 home runs, but he's got 8 total hits, so about 50% of his hits are flying over the fence. Meanwhile, you've got a Yankees lineup that has been up and down to say the least, but you've got Carlos Rodon as well, who's been just not what you typically expect from Carlos Rodon when he's at peak form. When he was with the White Sox, when he was with the Giants, he was getting north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's down to about 8 punchouts per 9 innings as far as the season, and 2 plus walks in each of his 4 starts. He has not been locating very well. He's got a .366 ERA, but a fielding independent that's more than a point higher than that. I do think that the A's find a way to be able to get to him, and I do think that J.P. Sears, with all the contact that he's giving up in general, that's going to lead to the Yankees getting a few runs as well. So I did sell my sell at an 8.2. I'm looking at the over, but I do think that the A's bust out a little bit with their bats. Want to take a plus +185 or higher with that A's money line to go along with the over. 965, 966 on the betting board. The Tampa Bay Rays play host to the Detroit Tigers. Tarik Skubal is on the bump for the Tigers, and Zach Little is on the bump for the Rays. And the Rays today, hip hip hooray, being at a modest price. They're anywhere between even money and minus 105. Between minus 108 to minus 115, that is the number on the Detroit Tigers. 7 is the total. Over is minus 120. The under is even. Still seeing a 7.5 out there. That under is minus 120. The over is even. And at a 7, I'm willing to go over. And personally, I would rather take a 7 over rather than a 7.5 under. And the biggest reason why is that Tarik Skubal has some pretty demonstrative home and road splits. Tarik Skubal has been tremendous since coming off the injured list towards the back half of the 2023 season. But if you look at what he's done when he's been at home versus when he's been away from home, really for his entire career, because I take a look at him just ever since he came into the league, he's been a different pitcher. .305 home ERA throughout his career, .461 ERA away from home. And away from home, he's given up about 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. Now, he has evolved quite a bit as a pitcher over the last few seasons, but still have to have your issues and your just sort of concerns there. Meanwhile, for the Tampa Bay Rays, you do have to have your concerns with regards to the top of the fold, as well as you got a pair of guys in Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena that need to pick it up. Both of these guys, .265 on base or worse, a combined 3 home runs. Isak Paredes has really been the guy that has been stirring the drink in terms of the lineup. He's been able to supply 5 home runs as he, Amed Rosario, are both giving you north of a .355 on base. And Richie Palacios hitting a .300 with north of a 4 on base as well. That has been pretty rock solid. But for the Tampa Bay Rays, they actually entered in the weekend dead last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. It's fair to say that I don't think that they are going to be dead last when it's all said and done in terms of their bullpen ERA. But at the same time, I don't think that they're going to be the same bullpen that we've seen in past years as well. I think that there's a little bit of fall off here. Pete Fairbanks has always been relatively solid, but he's having a rough start to the season thus far. Jason Adam, Colin Pouche, these are still guys that have been able to go out there and get the job done. So I do think that they're going to be big cogs for the team moving forward, but it's been some of the newer additions like Chris Davinsky has been letting them down. Meanwhile, for the Detroit Tigers, this bullpen has been absolutely tremendous. They don't necessarily have that one main guy, but likes of Volvez, Jason Foley, along with even someone like a Tyler Holton. These are guys, they're giving you good innings. I like what I've been seeing out of Andrew Chafin as well. And this is a top three team with regards to their bullpen ERA. They're just not providing a lot with regards to their lineup, though. They're not been able to really give you a lot in terms of run production. averaging just 14 home runs in 21 games thus far this season, and they're hitting as a collective 220. Spencer Torkelson is finding a way on base, but he has as many home runs as myself, Riley Green, Mark Canna, Gary Carpenter. They've all been able to give you three home runs apiece, but really the only guy that's hitting for average right now is Gary Carpenter, hitting above a 300, but Javi Baez, Parker Meadows, Cole Keith, Carson Kelly, these are all guys that are currently hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. That has been a big, giant issue for the Tigers team, and I do think that Zach Little is going to be able to do a nice job holding down the fort. He's been very good with regards to his command since becoming a starter in the starter's role since the beginning part of the 2023 season. That includes his full-on starts and his opens. He's only been given up about 2 walks per 9 innings and has done a nice job keeping the ball in the yard thus far this season while increasing his swing and miss stuff. 22 strikeouts in 21 innings, having allowed just one home run. I do think that this is going to be a relatively solid pitcher's role, but again, I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression with Skubal and this bullpen. I do think that the Rays are going to be able to pick it up a little bit more with their bats. So here at AA7, I'm going to be looking at the over semi-total 7.3, and I like the Rays on the money line. Made them the -106 favorite. 967, 968 on the bank board. The Kansas City Royals playoffs to the Toronto Blue Jays. Yusei Kikuchi is on the bump for the Jays. Brady Singer is on the bump for the Royals, and this is a pick'em game. Both of these teams are between -103 to -112. Meanwhile, the total opened up at 8, and now we're finding it at an 8.5, with the over at -120 in a lot of spots. The under, that is at even money, and I'm going to be willing to go in on the under. I did set my total at an 8.1. Yusei Kikuchi has been really good at denying the deep ball since the All-Star break of 2023, was having a rough go of it early on during his career with the Toronto Blue Jays, but love the way that he's been able to really reform himself ever since the All-Star break of 2023. In that time span, he's been supplying a sub-340 ERA, giving up about 0.6 home runs per 9 innings, and his walks have not been too bad either this year, about 8 walks in 21 and 2/3 innings, so a little bit over 3 walks per 9 innings, but it's manageable when you're able to get swings and misses and when you're able to keep the ball in the yard, much like he has. And for Brady Singer, currently a .154 ERA, fielding independent is more around a 4, as he has given up 3 home runs in 23 and a third inning, so he's very fortunate to have that ERA, but perhaps this is a little bit of good karma from last season, as last season he posted up an ERA right around about a 5.5. His fielding independent was 1.3 points lower than that. He's been able to do a nice job of being able to locate over the last two seasons, about 2.6, 2.7 walks per 9 innings, and he's backed up by a Royals lineup that has been royally good. How about Vinny Pascantino, MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., all supplying at least 4 home runs thus far this season. Witt has been able to give you about a 350 on base. Vinny Pascantino was really good prior to getting injured last season. He's been able to refine that form with a 375 on base. Salvador Perez is able to give you 6 home runs. He's doing a good job drawing some walks, nearly a 400 on base as well. Now, some of the guys towards the bottom of the fold, Adam Frazier, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe, these are guys hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, so it's a little bit of an unbalanced lineup, but it is a very formidable lineup. Meanwhile, for the Blue Jays, been a lot of underachieving for this bunch. Justin Turner has been great. He's been able to hit about a 300. His on-base percentage, that's more in the neighborhood about a 400. But really past that, you've been able to get a little bit of production out of Isaiah Kinnear-Falefa. I think about a 255. Kevon Vigio and limited at-bats has been able to find a way to be able to give you about a 375 on-base. But then you've got George Springer, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Alejandro Kerr, Kevin Kiermaier, all these guys hitting a 226 or lower. Guerrero's been able to find a way to move the line a little bit and has 3 home runs. And Dalton Varsho does have 5 home runs, hitting about a 245. Honestly, he's been relatively okay, but this has been a Blue Jays lineup that has been a big, giant disappointment now for north of 12 months, dated back to the 2023 season. Expected a little bit more out of them. Last season, they actually averaged more runs per game when they were on the road rather than when they were at home, but it's a big, giant red flag in for the Blue Jays. Good news for them is that now the bullpen has been fortified a little bit more. We've got a pair of guys that are able to hold down the fort in Eric Swanson along with Jordan Romano. They are out and in the injured list towards the beginning part of the season. Now they are back, but still have been having a little bit of a less than savory run of things in general with Yimi Garcia, really since the beginning of part of the 2023 season, having his issues. Genesis Cabrera's not been good out there in the bullpen. I actually like what I'm seeing out of Chad Green, but this Blue Jays team in the bottom half of the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA. Royals have been actually a halfway decent bullpen thus far this season. I don't have a lot of faith in them being able to keep it going, though. You've got guys like James McArthur, Chris Stratton, Will Smith. These are guys that I don't think you should should be really banking on moving forward. They're currently 12th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA compared to the Blue Jays, who are 24th, but I do think that both of these bullpens are very comparable despite those numbers. But you have my trepidations there, but I do think that Brady Singer goes out there, runs a solid start. I do think that Kikuchi does as well, but I do think that for the Royals, they just have a better offense in general. I do think that you have to always have a little bit of nervousness when backing Yusei Kikuchi as well, but here that we've gotten to an ANAF, I like the under, and I do like the Royals on the main line, set them at a minus 122, 969, 970 on the betting board. The Minnesota Twins play host to the Chicago White Sox. Jonathan Gannon is on the bump for the White Sox, and Chris Paddock goes for the Twins. Twins between minus 160 to minus 180 favorites. You've got between plus 150 to plus 155. 8K, not enough to take the Chicago White Sox. ANAF is a total. Over is anywhere between even money, minus 110. The under is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120. I needed at least a plus 228 to take a shot on the White Sox. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Minnesota Twins, you're getting that at a plus 120. More than willing to do so. Now, I will say this about the Chicago White Sox. The bullpen hasn't necessarily been terrible. You've had likes of Steven Wilson, Dominic Leon, even Michael Kopech, who still gives up rockets, but hasn't necessarily given up a whole bunch of contact other than those rockets. Be not so bad. They're about a league average bullpen in terms of ERA. Minnesota Twins have them outgunned, but that's something nice that we're able to say about them, which is not many things. Minnesota Twins, meanwhile, fourth in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. They're doing this without Yoan Duran, but they've been able to have a lot of guys step up. Steven Okerk, Cody Funderburk, Brock Stewart, and these are all guys who are doing a nice job holding down the fort. But for the Chicago White Sox team, my goodness, going out of the game on Sunday against the Philadelphia Phillies, they had one out of their nine starters hitting above a buck 80. Like, they have no offense whatsoever. They're averaging about 2.1 runs per game. Paul DeJong was really the only guy that was giving you anything, hitting at 255 with three home runs. Now he's injured. Gavin Sheets, he's been able to hit about a 255. He's been able to supply three home runs. Seems as though he might be dealing with a little bit of an injury as well. He was not in the lineup yesterday. Like, this is just all sorts of terrible for the Chicago White Sox. I wish I could highlight anything good that's happening for the team. They got back Eloy Jimenez, but he's hitting a buck 67 as well. There's no plate discipline whatsoever. There's no power. There's no ability to draw walks. Honestly, there's just absolute sadness with this lineup. Meanwhile, for the Minnesota Twins, it's really not a whole heck of a lot better. The Twins are hitting about a buck 94 as a collective. That's actually worse than the White Sox collective batting average, but at the very least, you're starting to find some guys starting to step up. Alex Kirilloff, he's been able to give you about a 340 on base. Edouard Julien is hitting for no average at all, but he's been able to give you four home runs. For the Minnesota Twins, you've also got Ryan Jeffers. He's been able to supply three home runs as well. You got to feel like guys like Manuel Margot and company, they're going to be able to get things a go-go, and they're going to be able to pick it up, especially against a young rookie in Jonathan Gannon, who he wasn't bad in his first start, gave up one run in five innings against Kansas City Royals, only gave up one walk. He's not going to give you a whole bunch of swings and misses. He was a former early round pick, I believe third round pick of Georgia a few seasons ago, and he was pretty rock solid out there in the SEC, which is by far the best college baseball conference out there in America. But that said, I do take a look at this ordeal, and I do think that he's going to give up a few runs to the Minnesota Twins. I do think that Chris Paddock going to be able to do a better job after last time around. He gave up nine runs in five and a third innings against the Orioles. Flat out, he just shouldn't have been in the game at that point, going into that start against the Orioles. For his career with the Minnesota Twins, granted, it's been one in which he's been banged up in. I believe that he had posted up like 12 total appearances. He had an ERA hovering right around four, but a fielding independent closer to about a 280. He does a relatively solid job of not giving up a ton of walks, five walks in 14 innings as far this season. Gave up a bunch of bombs to the Baltimore Orioles, but everyone's giving up bombs to the Baltimore Orioles, and I do think that him playing in a pitcher-friendly ballpark, that's going to be able to help out, and I do think that these wins get a little bit more online with their bats, but now that we've got an 8.5, both of these offenses are just absolutely terrible. Recognize that Jonathan Cannon isn't a lot to write home about, but I'm going to be taking a look at the under in this spot, and with the Twins willing to lay the run line, I don't know if the White Sox can provide two runs to deny this run line, and we wrap things up with my DK Network right at pick 971, 972 on the betting board. It is the Baltimore Orioles on the road facing off against the LA Angels. Reed Detmers goes for the Halos, and it is old Albert Suarez on the bump for the Orioles. Orioles are an underdog. You're going to be getting them between even money and plus 108. Meanwhile, any between minus 117 to minus 125. That number on the Angels, 8.5 is the total. Over is between minus 115 to a minus 120. The under is any between even and minus 105. And right up here is going to be on the Orioles money line. Set this line at a minus 109 for Albert Suarez. just a long and winding road, and he is quite literally the epitome of an international man of mystery, because he comes over from overseas for one, but two, he played in the KBO for a year, he played in the Nippon Baseball League for a few years, I think that he's played some Mexican Winter League baseball as well. This guy's played in like every single league in the world. It's absolutely incredible. And Robert Suarez, first start, 5 2/3 innings scoreless against the Minnesota Twins, got called up pretty much the night before, and he was absolutely awesome. And if you do take a look at his spring training numbers, he was getting north of 10 strikeouts, a fewer than 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He did post up a north of 5 ERA at the minor league level this season, but he was not giving up a lot of walks. He was doing a nice job getting swings and misses. I do like his overall upside. And for Reed Detmers, he has been tremendous thus far this season. He has given up 2 runs or fewer in every one of his 4 starts in 22 2/3 innings, 4 runs, 3 of which were earned. In the course of these starts, he's been able to compile about 12 strikeouts to 3 walks per 9 innings, but now he has to go up against the Baltimore Orioles, and first time he faced off against the Orioles, it wasn't a bad start. He gave up 1 run over the course of 5 innings, did walk 3, so he was clearly trying to be careful with his Baltimore Orioles lineup, and rightfully so, as right now the Baltimore Orioles, they lead the big leagues in terms of total home runs. You've got Gunnar Henderson, who's led the way with 6, but Anthony Santander, Colton Cowser, along with Ryan O'Hearn, Jordan Westberg, Cedric Mullins, all these guys have between 4 and 5 home runs apiece, and this team is just so deep that they're able to platoon with regards to like righty and lefty splits. You've got a lot of guys that move the line. Adley Rutschman, even Jorge Mateo in his limited amount of at-bats. Ryan Mountcastle, Jordan Westberg, these are all guys hitting at least a 275 for this team. And then you've got a lot of these guys doing a nice job being able to draw walks as well. They do a nice job against lefties. They do a nice job against righties. And for the LA Angels, it's just going to have a great bullpen behind Reed Detmers as well. Those walks, I think, might knock him out of the start early. You've got a nice 9th and 8th inning duo in Matt Moore along with Carlos Acevedo. These guys have been tremendous, and Carson Fulmer has been halfway decent to this point, but the reclamation projects of Adam Simber, Hunter Strickland, Jose Cicerano, not necessarily going as planned. And for the Baltimore Orioles, they're about a league average bullpen right now, but Craig Kimbrell's honestly looked relatively good. I'm going to need to see more before I can truly believe it with him, but all in all, I do like what I've seen there. And then you got the likes of Jacob Webb, along with Danny Colum, Yennier Cano. These guys are providing a sub-375 ERA as well. I do think that Suarez is going to be able to go out there and do his part against an LA Angels lineup that, while you do have some fearsome bats, it's a very top-heavy lineup. I have a pair of guys in Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, who have combined for 14 on the team's 22 home runs thus far this season, both providing about a .325 on base. Now you've got Anthony Rendon on the injured list, and then Brendan Drury, Zach Neto, Nate Chenal, Aaron Hicks, Mickey Moniak, all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. It does lead to a little bit of a rough spot. I like Logan Hoppe and the fact that he's able to move the line, but outside of Ward and Trout, you don't have too many real threats. I do think that that's going to play into the favor of the Baltimore Orioles here. I am going to be writing up with my write-up the Orioles on the money line. I was willing to take up to a minus 108 there, and with regards to the total, it's a very intriguing spot. I did set my total at an 8.6. I do think that for Reed Detmers, he's going to begin to regress just a little bit, so here at the 8.5, I like the over, and I do like the Orioles on the money line with my write-up, and that'll wrap things up for the Monday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Dylan Rockford, who does great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter/XTimeline at @JDN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is sign an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. This means I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.